Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I heard Evan talk a little bit on the Rico about the atmosphere. I mean, 50,000 people were there. The crowd was, I would say, mostly Philadelphia, but there was definitely a contingent for both fans, both teams. It sounded good, seemed like they were into it. Evan was talking on the podcast about how it was pretty much, you know, mostly, it wasn't a lot of New Yorkers and Philadelphians who flew out there. It's a lot of just, you know, British people, a lot of just, you know, people from England and London who decided to go see a baseball game, and it seemed like they were into it. And I never have a problem with promoting. People get mad. Why are we doing these games? Why can't we stay in the country? Like, especially baseball that plays 162. I can understand the argument with football where it's like, we only get 8 home games. You're taking a home game away from us so they can go play in Denmark. It's like, all right, cool, but we want our games. 162, you can go play a couple games in London.
I feel like
two things. Because now they're trying to incorporate soccer sort of the other way around, where they're trying to take games in England and bring them here for a week. And as a soccer fan, I think that's completely stupid. I don't agree with it. But with baseball, I kind of understand just because of the amount of games. And I think the reason why, or a big reason why there were more Philly fans is because Rob McElhenney was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he owns a team now.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's sort of grabbed attention of people from the UK that has made, because he's so adamant about Philly sports that has made Brits, I guess, Philly fans.
Hmm. I mean, because I heard that there were Philly bars there, like they, so they're somewhat popular out in London. But it was a good atmosphere. It was fun. The games were pretty good. And again, this game,
the commentating too. Did you hear the...
Yeah, you know what? I was going to ask you to get that for me. We'll play it. Yeah, we'll play it. I heard Michael Kay on the regular broadcast we watched, and I thought I didn't think he was bad or anything. I thought he sounded different, though. It was almost like he put on a different voice when he was doing like a national game as opposed to the Yankee game. I thought his inflection was different. I thought his speech pattern kind of sounded different. I was like, I thought Michael Kay sounded just different in the broadcast. It was weird. Maybe it's because I'm not used to him being with those broadcasters, Tim Kirchin, and like it just the whole thing sounded different to me. But I agree. Like, they should play. I was listening to Lori coming in, and they talked about it. It should have been televised. We should have gotten a British play-by-play guy. It would have added to the element of it. Especially, you know, it's not like you're in a country that doesn't speak English. I mean, it's obviously English. You can understand it. So let's hear the call of the great last play by Terenz to turn a double play on a ball that, in the moment, we all know the Mets are losing that game. That's what I take from this game. What I take from this game is the Mets are going to lose, right? The bullpen's been awful for them. Philly's the best team in the National League, arguably the best team in all of baseball. They're having this rally to come back. There is no stopping it. They are going to lose this game. They have lost this game. They have blown more games in the eighth and ninth inning than any team in baseball. And as you watch the game, Mets fans, you know you felt like this game was going to be a disaster. Right? Out in London, big time, primetime game. This series getting a lot of attention. They're going to blow it. And instead, they get one of the better defensive, more heads-up defensive plays from catcher. I don't know if I've ever seen that play. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen the catcher field it himself. We've seen like 1-2-3 double plays. But for the catcher to run out there, get it, backtrack to home, and get enough on it to throw the first, because I'll tell you, when I was watching the play, when he lets the throw go, I am petrified it's going up the right field line. Like, that's a tough throw to make. The angle he's got to throw it with the runner running down first baseline, that is a... As much as it looks like a difficult play, I would venture to say that's even more of a difficult play than we even understand. That is a great defensive play to end a game, secure a split with Philadelphia, to have, you know, the comeback, the whole thing, that's a big win to keep some momentum here that they desperately need. You couldn't allow, I know it's three games against Washington, but it's three games against Washington, and now you got Miami coming up, a team that you should probably beat, you know, and hopefully sweep. But if you had this little couple of days answering dumb questions, taking all this time to go to London, big series, everybody's promoting it, and you go out there and you lose both games and you lose it getting blown out in the first one, playing typical Met baseball, and then blowing a lead again in the ninth to lose another game, that's the kind of thing that it's what bothered me about the Arizona Diamondback series. Like, you play well, you're in a little bit of a momentum, you had the players meeting, Lindor's hitting a little bit. You go out there and you take two games from Arizona in convincing fashion, and then you blow the next two. Like, you got to try and build momentum. And to throw away the Washington series with getting beaten twice by Philadelphia would have been that for me. It would have been a major momentum killer. And now you keep that momentum alive with a very good win, and now you head right into a Miami series that hopefully one of the worst teams in baseball, you can find a way to continue the winning, and then now you get on a roll. But here, let's hear that play, because I'm telling you, this is one of the better catcher's plays I've seen a catcher make. And to end the game with Nick Castellanos at the plate, who's starting to get hot, off to a terrible start this year for Philadelphia, but starting to get hot, and everything is spinning in the wrong way for the Mets, and yet again, they are about to blow a game, the base is loaded, and you come through with this great defensive play. It's really a great win for the Mets. And here's how it sounded. Who is this? This is the Turner.
So it's TNT Sports. It's TNT Sports. It's different from our TNT.
Right, I gotcha.
And it's a Darren Fletcher, not the former player.
I gotcha.
Different commentator.
All right. Yeah. Darren Fletcher, TNT Radio.
And Castellanos' bat explodes, and they're going to get the runner at home. They're going to get the double play to win the game. What an end. The shattered bat, the runner out at home plate, and the ball fired into the glove at the first baseman, Pete Alonso, and the New York Mets somehow withstand the Phillies rally, and they win game two in London 6-5.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big-time win, a big-time play, and that's a great call. I would have much rather have seen that, not to knock Michael Kay, I don't really care, but I would have loved to have gotten that feel. Why not get that flavor of London if we're going to be in London? I thought it was good. That's a good call. And it would have brought a little bit more juice to it all.